Thanks for listening in to this episode of Power Lunch. The FM Power Lunch is an opportunity for us to talk about how our faith can go to work. We explore ideas by interviewing different people and learning from others about how our faith and work intersect. We're glad that you can listen in and hope that you'll join us in person sometime. Learn more at bethelfc.com/powerlunch. Sarah, would you join me up here? I forgot to tell you how we do this, you know?
I thought you were going to sing my walk-up song.
Do you have a walk-up song?
No.
Could you please?
No, but if you would sing it, that would be great.
Oh, wow. That could get me in a lot of trouble really fast. We don't know each other well enough for me to know your walk-up song. Mark, do you know her walk-up song? Okay. This girl's on fire. Yes.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that introduction, Mark Wallace, from the crowd. We appreciate that. Sarah West, thank you so much for being here today and allowing me to interview you and for sharing with our Power Lunch group. I have wanted to do this for some time. I've watched with the Faith Forward phenomenon. I remember hearing from Paul Ninus a number of years ago. He had this dream, and I would love to hear how the two of you found each other to bring about Faith Forward.
Yeah, so I was sharing my vision about that with a local community member, Brady Nash, and he was a member of Hope South, and he's like, I'm pretty sure Paul has that same dream. So you two should meet, and we did. And one thing that is maybe unique about me, I don't know, but it seems to be something that people value is I like to get things done. So if God's put it on my heart and I prayed about it enough, let's just go. We'll just figure it out. We don't have to have necessarily a plan. Just galvanize and create some momentum behind it. So Paul had the vision at the same time that I did. We got together and they got to supply a space, which really helps from a budget perspective, is to have a space where people can gather. And to be able to do that, because we did get a quote of the Shields Arena, and Mark knows what it is, and we gotta raise a lot more dollars before we can get there. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. So, when you guys first met, to when Faith Forward became like a reality, what was the timeline?
Oh, I would say less than a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Faith Forward is on my heart, or well, how Faith Forward came into existence is. My chiropractor, you know, in the 3 minutes that they crack you up and get you all out, he's got quite the system down. He said, you know what, Sarah, we should do a sermonar. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean?
A sermonar?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's got a sermon and a seminar. We should do a sermonar. And so another thing is like, hey, if that's a good idea and the market will take it, I'll probably run with it. Hey, Matt, is that okay if I do that? So what I did is text Kelsey Buell, who runs events in our community and is a lover of Jesus too, and said, hey, I'm an obliger, so I have to tell somebody else that I'll do something, that it'll get done. Otherwise, if it's just me, like, you know, going to the gym that I don't get done, then I won't get done. So I text Kelsey that in February. And then we started our focus groups. Our first one was in May, and that's where Brady was at a focus group. And then Brady let me know about Paul. So that summer probably we met Paul. And then it was, I suppose it was then 18 months till the actual event happened. So met Paul. We were going to try and pull it off the next May. So like from focus group to execution, 1 year. And then we decided a fall event might make a little bit more sense, make it a little bit tricky. Like how social media said, it's Christmas without presents because there's so much going on in May, but no presents unless you're graduating, then you get presents. So we decided on a fall start date. It was in December. I remember it very distinctly because we put two inquiries out with national level speakers, Jamie Kern Lima, who founded It Cosmetics and sold it for $1 billion and is open about her faith, and Dr. Henry Cloud. So we both made them both an offer to come to Fargo in November. And on the same day, they both said yes. And their price tags were the same really, really large dollar amount. So we had to decide who we wanted to go with there. But it was in Arizona when we got the yes. And then a couple hours later got another yes. And I'm like, okay, well, we can't afford both of you. So what are we going to do here? And then, that's how that kind of came about. And then the next November, we pulled it off, got to meet the most beautiful thing about Faith Forward. There's two things. One is when you listen to God and you're in His will, feels like the wind is at your back. Like to have 400 people or just under 400 people gather that first event, to have the experience at the level that we did, and to do that in a not with a huge loss from a financial standpoint, that's just God. Like he showed up big that day. Those 2 days brought amazing people into our lives, like Mark, who's now our executive director, that just are on fire for Him and just can build that momentum. So that's really what that is all about.
It was so fun to get there that day,
yeah,
and to be a part of it and to see how God brought all that together. And wow, what a blessing. He blessed a lot of people through that. Thank you for your obedience.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You bet.
Now that's where you're at now. Mm-hmm. I remember that's one aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. Obviously you and I have had a nice conversation, and if you look Sarah up on LinkedIn, you'll see quite a list of accomplishments. And I complimented you on that, and you had some fun phrase. What did you say? I said, this looks like a lot. And you said, well, I just lived it.
Oh,
I don't know anything about it.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
It was really,
yeah,
sweet.
That's thank you for that. Because to me, what you define as a lot is not a lot. It's just, you know, doing the things that are necessary. And I think where the credit is due to our Creator, right? So I guess the shift in my 20s was really after going through a divorce. So it's part of our story. Mine and my husband's story is we met, I was 19, he was 26. We got married when I was 22, got pregnant with Kylie right away. So she was born 8 months later. And I struggled a lot with that because I'm a very driven person. But becoming a mom was extremely difficult because now I have this child that I love so much and need to take care of. But I also have these ambitions here. So it kind of had a little bit of an identity crisis. And I even shared this on the stage at Faith Forward. And I ended up being so miserable with my life that I ended up being unfaithful. And I couldn't live with the fact that I made that choice. So I just left. I just left my husband. And it was the day after Christmas that I moved back in with my parents. Didn't really give them a reason why. And then so we were divorced for 3 years. And it was helping another individual, a friend of mine, through a similar situation. And she asked me, you know, like, because I made my choice. Like, when you go through something like that in your marriage, and I know a lot of people don't like to admit that happens more frequently than I think we like to admit, but you have a choice, right? You have a choice, yeah, to stay in it and fight, or you have a choice to let go. And in that choice for her, my only thing that came to me was what I regretted about my choice was I didn't try. Like, I didn't even give him the opportunity to know to decide if we were going to work through that or not. I chose for us. And that was a really pivotal moment for me. So in my early 20s, I thought I knew everything. Does anybody have kids in their late teens, early 20s? And do they know everything, right? So I'm, as much as my husband hates that I say this, but I'm grateful for that experience because it humbled me and it made me a more empathetic and natural leader. Because before that, I'm like, I was very judgmental. I was very like, you know, it's easy just to do the right thing all the time. And it's not. It's not. It's a daily choice. It's sometimes an hourly choice. Like, I shouldn't have chose to eat the bread today, but I chose to eat the bread.
It was good.
I know. It's so good. But, like, I have a slight gluten allergy, so now my face itches. It's fine. But wow. I know, I'm serious.
And it just, I believe, yeah, you.
But it's just about choices. So as funny as as like grateful for that experience. I just am, because anyway, what I said to this gal that I was helping through the same situation is, I regret not trying. Like, I didn't actually try to fix that. And her comment back to me was, well, you still can. At the time, I was dating somebody else, and he was dating somebody else, and we just came back together. We had Kylie, you know, so we were still fully connected, and had that conversation of, what does that look like? And then we just started dating each other again, got remarried, and then had Trigvi. So if you're wondering why I have an age gap in my kids, that is why. Kylie's 17 and Trigvi's 7, and God said, you know what, Sarah? I don't think you can handle two kids at one time, so we're going to mess this up a little bit. But no, it brought me closer to him. And that's where I heard this quote last week at a mastermind that I am. And I think Steve Jobs is who said it, is it's easy to connect the dots in the past. It's impossible to do it in the future. And then to spin that on a faith perspective, but trust that God is the author of our story. So even if you're in the yuck, that he is working that for your good. And if we look at the basic biblical beliefs that we are designed for his glory and to worship him, is everything that happens to us, we can choose to pull away from him or lean into him. And that's the ultimate goal anyway. So if we just, you know, choose hindsight again, 2020, but leaning into those things and those difficult things has been a game changer for me and how I move through life.
I love that. That's beautiful. Tell me about more of the God element in this story. Like, when did your faith become so actualized and realized?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, going through the divorce was a step in the right direction, but the real moment, or 8 weeks, on July 4th of 2016, my twin nieces who were 4 and Kylie, who was 8 at the time, Chad and I had just gotten remarried on Memorial Day, and this was July 4th. So 30 days later, my daughter and nieces were hit by a car, crossing the highway. And, there is no reason that my niece Bethany is alive today, but God's grace. So, she had a traumatic brain injury. She had significant damage to her leg. She was life flighted to Fargo and then to St. Paul. And remember walking up to her, you know, for those of you who love little humans, we all love the little humans, but have a 4-year-old laying face down on the road, bleeding from the mouth, unconscious, is probably one of the most scariest things that I've witnessed yet. And I just put my hand on her back, and I could tell she was still breathing. So all we could do in that moment, like, I don't know how many EMTs are in there, is pray, because we're not supposed to move her, right? Because we don't know what damage we could create. But within minutes, the EMTs were there. God had placed a doctor just a couple cabins down, who was there with their family on vacation, that started treating Bethany right away. So we just prayed over her in that moment. And in St. Paul, they did 11 surgeries in 7 days to try to, you know, slow the bleeding in her brain, understand whether she broke her jaw. Like, there's just all sorts of things. My sister could do a better job of the list of things that was road to recovery. And some of you were in my life at that time, so you might remember those reach outs. But watching, so the moment in the hospital when I was sitting with my sister, hearing from the doctor, like, we just don't know. Like, it's a brain injury. The brain can do so many things. She could walk out of here fully recovered, or she could never wake up, and we do not know. And then moving through that information alongside my sister, and just watching God surround us with so much love, like, so much love. When we talk about what it means to be in community, like, that is what we needed in that moment, is just an outpouring of love and our small town of community. I got to meet Scott today, who's from Hitterdal, which is just 7 miles down the road from Yulin, and just watching that community, not even just like our small town community, but the Fargo Moorhead community and everybody just surround us and love that. And Bethany is now a sassy teenager, so fully recovered from that. And that's just by the grace of God. So where that brought me is in, that was probably the first moment that I fully depended on him.
Okay.
Like, I have no idea what you are trying to do here or what this is about, but the people that he brought to our lives and the people who reached out to me and were like, our whole community is praying for you. I didn't even know where they're at in their faith journey. So in that 10 days or 11, this first 7 days when she was medically sedated, so we didn't know what she was going to wake up. Like, I remember laying there negotiating with God, just let her be okay. And I will never not stop talking about what you're capable of. And if we look into the past, again, we can connect the dots of the past, that prayer is the obedience that became faith forward and became like consulting. It became that because that prayer of, I'm not going to be shy about the creator of the universe and the gifts that he can give us and do give us. And it might not look the way that we want it to, but it is a gift, and he is making things new for our good. That was probably the moment, the time when it all shifted.
That is really beautiful, the way you just put all that together. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think your friends that know you well see that in you.
Thank you.
It was interesting. I sent you some notes about ideas I had about where we could have a conversation. And then I just did one of those like Google search, get to know you things. And your website, you are not shy about your faith at all or your values.
Mm-hmm.
You even talk about in one of your articles about if you're going to work for us, and you don't love Jesus, you're probably not going to enjoy working for us.
Yeah, get a little.
I think you literally said that.
I mean, we do devotions and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
you lead with that in a way.
Yeah.
How have you found that? How does that shape your culture?
Yeah.
You know, in what you're doing, because you started your own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the internal culture, so we talk about it in the interview process. So if you are interested in working in our organization, you're going to know that stuff right up front, even if you didn't do your homework, which if you're in an interview, you probably should have visited the website. But so it's not that we wouldn't hire somebody that doesn't believe. What it is you got to be open to it, because if you're the opposite, then it's going to probably be uncomfortable for you, but also welcome those conversations. So everybody in our organization is in a different spot in their faith journey. Like, some people, probably the only scripture that they hear on a weekly basis is what we do on Mondays and Thursdays in our check-in. Like, that might be all that they get. And then I have another team member who's so involved in our church and worship team and leading girl groups and doing all the things. And so the whole spectrum. So it's not about like where you're at. It's about, are you open to that? And one of our core values that we just changed this year, it was give grace. We have our core values spell out light, so it's easy to remember. Love like Jesus, intentional living, give grace, that we just changed. Help others and trust that anything is possible. And why we changed give grace is because, one, I mean, Jesus kind of is grace, so check there. But we wanted to change it to growth mindset, because that really is important in our organization. And the other thing is, not only for our team members, but our clients. So we want our clients to align from a core value perspective too. And that doesn't mean that you have to grab every time you have a microphone, you praise God. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is, because loving like Jesus means holding the door for somebody with a smile on your face. Like, those are the little moments that everybody can do, and you don't have to be outward to be about it, but we do want that to be a part of your core and part of that. But when I started my business, I shared with people of influence in the community, what I was thinking and what I was going to do. And I only had one person really say, you know, I don't know if you're going to get some resistance with that, being faithful like that and saying love like Jesus is one of your core values. And I actually found the opposite. So I've never not got a engagement or conversation because of it. Now, are all my clients, you know, wherever they're at? I don't, you know, some of them I don't know where they're at. Some of them I get to have conversations when they're in their stressful moments. So if any of you have ran a business, it's there are moments where you're like, I don't know what to do. I want to give up. This is really hard. And I get to sit in there, and if they're not open to it, I can just say, well, I'll be praying for you. And that's powerful. It doesn't need to be a big event. It can just be that too, that I'll be praying for you. And it can be as simple as that. So, yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love what you're describing. It's really beautiful. And thank you for the redirect you gifted me there, mm-hmm. of that you don't have to know Jesus, mm-hmm. to work with you.
Yeah.
I think that's really beautiful, because mm-hmm. that is how Jesus would want us to live.
Yeah.
Talk to me about being an entrepreneur. A lot of the people here appreciate small business. A lot of them have started things or will start things. Mm-hmm. You know, what have you been learning
about
starting stuff? You seem like you start some things.
Yeah, I had to fill out one of those favorite cards a few months ago. I get to serve on the board of the United Way, and they asked for that. Favorite coffee, ZZ, all of that stuff. Hobby, not so good. Actually, Josh asked, what do I do on weekends? And I said, I don't know, like work. It's fun. And what Mike Arnson said is, your hobby is starting businesses. So, I mean, I'd always tease my CPA, because they're like, what business did you start this year? And I do have an answer almost every time. So when it comes to starting businesses, or starting light was my first taste of entrepreneurship. Now, working for people, I've been exposed to the entrepreneurial spirit, because I'm usually working when you work with money, because I was the accountant to the CFO. You tend to get to know whoever is the person who's writing the checks, right? I mean, I'm writing the checks, but it's their money that I'm playing with. So you get to know those people and that entrepreneurial spirit. And then with some of the life that I've lived, what I identified is that I have a skill set that can help people. And that's why help others is our innate core value. You have to have that core value to be a part of our organization. And what I found in these entrepreneurial journeys is just opportunities to do that. So Light Consulting's easy, fractional CFO and accounting services. So most businesses need help with their money, so we can come alongside that. And then and Andy could even speak to a little bit how we probably go above and beyond with some of our clients. We have a mutual client that I get to be a part and alongside him in that business owner journey. And then down to the Soda Shack, which was last year's business that we started with my daughter. So she was like, what am I going to do for my summer job? I'm like, well, you could start a business. And she's like, rolls her eyes at me, but she loves it now. So the Soda Shack is dirty sodas. You guys are not the target market, so it's okay if you have not heard of them.
What is a dirty soda?
Yeah.
It's
true. Like, it's okay. That's why I got to start seven businesses, because there's various target markets.
How many of you know what a dirty soda is? Okay, about 50%.
Yeah.
Educate us.
Yes.
Enlighten us.
It is basically a cup of ice with pop, creamer, and some syrup in it.
Okay.
So the Firework Fizz was the most popular. So it's a can of Sprite, cherry, blue raspberry syrup, and some Pop Rocks in it. Yeah,
okay.
I know. It's pretty exciting. So,
what does she buy them for and sell them for?
Yeah.
I've watched Shark Tank. I know.
You want to know the margins?
I just want to know.
Well, you might feel guilty buying one now if you know the margins.
Probably not.
Yeah. Pardon my language in the church here, but something that Chad and I, Chad is my husband, and he's also an entrepreneur spirit, so we call ourselves full assers, because we don't like to half ass things. We like to go all in.
You said it, I didn't.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
Why they won't give me the pastor badge, is because she swears. So we bought a trailer, like a concessions trailer, and she brings it to these various town days or Stanford actually was a delightful surprise, bringing it to the hospital and the nurses on break would come get a sweet treat in the afternoon. So the overall cost of the soda, depending on the on how many squirts of syrup you get in there, is about $1.50, and she sells them for $6.
I love it.
And she does great. Yeah.
And so, we're supporting a teen entrepreneur.
Yes, exactly.
What could be more fun than that?
Mm-hmm. And the other, so how we incorporate our faith into all these little things. So I like made her do, if you're familiar with EOS, I made her do a VTO so that she has like her business plan. Total dork. But one of the little things, so her core values are joy. I can't remember what that bird was. That's the main focus one. And we have a jar that says, that has little Jesuses on in them. Has okay. anybody seen a little Jesus in random
there
places?
There was one being passed around here earlier today.
Yes. Yeah. There, there's these little Jesuses. And
some of us need big Jesus.
I know.
Yeah.
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 Yes. We do need big Jesus, but we may not admit it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So we'll on the it. Jar full of little Jesuses says, everybody needs a little Jesus, and just
that's
gives
cute.
Them away. So that's a little add-on to how do you create a little piece of faith into a business that's really about spreading joy and having a sweet treat.
I love that. Yeah. That is so fun. You used some acronyms that some of us might know. You said EOS and something else.
EOS stands for Entrepreneur Operating System. So it's a model to run your business, your small business. So if you're not, if you're struggling getting traction in your business, there's a book called Traction that talks about the EOS model, and that's really helpful to come up with a small business plan.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what was the other acronym you used?
I don't know.
Like a business plan acronym?
Oh, VTO, yeah. Vision Traction Organizer. That's a tool in the EOS program. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like
sorry.
Greek to me.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably some things that you know that I don't know.
Maybe. I'm doing good to use the right name today, so we're just doing
like
great.
All the names this in the really Bible. Fun. I wouldn't. I, if
right.
I, if
yeah.
I ever,
every pastor knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
he
like,
can say Mephibosheth. You know, like yeah. I do have a skill.
You do have a skill.
I found one.
Yes.
See,
so good.
I knew this was going to go well. And now I know what a dirty soda is. So when I go home today, my kids won't roll their eyes at me. That's
no.
good.
No.
It's so fun. Well, I want to open up the floor to take a few questions. If people have questions for Sarah, and man, what an encouragement. I love how you've captured your thoughts and pointed us back to Jesus.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Sarah. I just wanted to say thank you again for speaking here today and sharing your joy and love for Jesus. What is your favorite thing that you are doing now within your family and your community?
That's a really hard question. I when you said favorite thing, I went straight to a business client that I'm starting their journey because they have a, for lack of better word, dysfunctional leadership team. So I'm so excited to get in there and have them wrestle it out and get on the other side of that. When it comes to community and family, I think the thing that I'm wrestling with right now with God, and I shared this with a little bit with Josh, is my hometown church is, again, small town. That's where we were at Prairie Heights, and we were finding ourselves to watch church a lot more than go to church. So we made the choice this year to go back to our hometown church. And what I'm struggling with, and this is now public to you guys, they don't even know that I'm struggling with this, with God, is like, do I insert myself or not? Like, because one of the things that I think they need to choose is, are we going to just stay what we are, and because we all have an expiration date on earth, die with our population, or are we going to try to attract new people to our church? And so what I am praying about is, do I insert myself and have those hard conversations with the pastor and the council? I served on the council years ago. So that's what I am contemplating, whether I'm doing that or not. Jonas did see our newest venture. We bought a dirt bike event business for 2026, so new business check. Hopefully my team's, they're like, you're done. You're done for the year. You already did it. It's happening. So that's my husband's passion is dirt bikes. So we get to hang out around the state of Minnesota five times in 2026 and lean into his passion. And one thing in our marriage that I got to remember is like, so although he's probably not going to pay me for my advice where most people do, it doesn't mean I shouldn't give it. And I shouldn't be like, do you know how much I charge per hour? If you want that information. No, I'm just kidding. But
you provide fractional CPA services to your husband's business.
Well, he doesn't pay me though. So that's the tension point for it. But just leaning in and using my gifts to help him live out his dreams is going to be fun in 2026.
That's fun. Josh, you had your hand up too. Do you have a question?
Yeah, my voice is loud enough, but I'll take a mic. In starting all of your ventures, what's been the, what you would say is like a milestone challenge that you've overcome in all of your business ventures?
Yeah. I think a milestone, my last W-2 job was with construction and real estate. So owning my own commercial real estate was kind of a milestone, like to step into that was good, to do. But I think that I'm not chasing like money. This morning at United Way, somebody asked a question about how do we get more people to be more philanthropic, and my belief is that it's God's money, and He's just using me to funnel through things. So that is just how. So I don't really have like anything. I guess the milestone for 2026, so in Thanksgiving week, I usually go to Arizona and spend the time with my family, but also spend the time reflecting on what do I want for the next year. One thing that is holding me back right now from being a bigger light or a better light is my calendar. Like I'm scheduled, so scheduled. Like the last meeting I had was at 10:15 and Mike's like, who schedules meetings at 10:15? I'm like, I have a 45-minute window this week. That's what you're getting is 10:15 to 11 o'clock. So that's something that I need to work on is how do I create space for God moments? Because when you're as busy or scheduled as I am, the disservice that I am doing is not creating enough opportunity to sit in a space with somebody who needs it. So let's just say, if that individual needed me to be there for longer, there would be an internal anxiety in myself to stay on schedule and to honor the commitments I've made here, but also to not leave them hanging. So I've done a pretty good job in my career of being able to help people feel seen and heard and help my clients think that I don't have any other clients and that they're my number one. But that's something that attention to be managed that I'm not probably doing a great job at right now.
Well, Sarah, thank you for sharing so openly and authentically. Our time's come to an end. I want to honor our time because I know some of these folks have to get back to work. And what I'd like to do is pray for you all and also just voice appreciation. Jeff from Rusco paid for your lunch today. So if you see Jeff around town, please tell him thank you. If you'd like to sponsor, we ask for a $200 sponsorship, and we're always looking for sponsors. It just helps us keep this going, and we're grateful for you all. Let's pray together, and this has been really good. Father, thank you for this holiday season, and as Sarah was talking about creating space for you to show up, I ask, God, that you would help us to see those spaces that we could take advantage of them today, and tomorrow, and in the week ahead. Lord, help us to not move so quick that we miss our neighbor who's in front of us, or even just that time that you want to have with us, so that we can hear again that you have sent Jesus to rescue us from our sin and to restore us to relationship with you, and that your Spirit longs to work within us to make us more like Christ. God, thank you for what you're doing in Sarah's life and through Light Consulting. I pray that you'd give them favor and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of Power Lunch. While hosted by Bethel Church, the Power Lunch is sponsored by Area Professionals. We'd love to have you join us. Learn more about our next upcoming Power Lunch at bethelfc.com/powerlunch.
FM Power Lunch. Learn about your faith in the workplace at FM Power Lunch.